Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandy Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Brandy Stankovic, and today's topic is one of my favorite topics, something I have dedicated my life to, and that is financial literacy. And we have some pretty cool subject matter experts that are going to be joining us here, the disclosures, the credit union band, the disclosures, and they're going to share a little bit of their journey together and what they've done together as well. So welcome. Let's get started. So as you know, the Strategic Hot Box is a place for learning, loving, and kicking ass. And in that, I wanted to share that I am forever a learner. I am always striving to try to be better, to help people around me be the best that they can be. And that's all what we want to accomplish in the learn section. In the love section, I'm going to bring to you leaders or people that are making a difference in whatever topic we're talking about. And so today, as I mentioned, it is the disclosures. And they're doing some pretty significant things in regards to financial literacy and helping young people manage their money. And then in kick-ass, I want to leave you with some things that you can do differently and how you can start making a difference in your life today. Because really, execution is everything. And without executing, it's all just been this really cool convo and we've just hung out together for a half hour, right? And chatting about business. But it's about like, what can we do next? How can we be making other people better and start spreading that impact? And financial literacy is so powerful. As a matter of fact, I think financial literacy is everything. I believe in it so much in the things that I do. I feel like it's one of the greatest challenges for people that are living out there. And especially when it comes to the youth coming up and trying to figure out their lives and balance their lives and what is it that they're going to do with, you know, student loan debt and just all of these major weights that we have as human beings that are coming down on our shoulders. When I went to college at the University of Nevada, Reno, I was overwhelmed with student loan opportunities and credit card debts and getting a free CD. And I don't know if I'm dating myself with the fact that they gave away CDs in college, but the fact that it was so easy to get really in debt. And combine that with my lack of understanding at the time, I was quickly drowning. Luckily, I had parents, the support of my family, to be able to step in and help me through that process. But most kids don't have that luxury. As a matter of fact, the Council for Economic Education states that 72% of parents feel reluctant to talk to their kids about their money. 72%. I don't know the exact statistics when it comes to sex, but it feels like that's darn near close, if not more, than what parents are, you know, when they're having the conversation about the birds and the bees. Come on already, parents. It's time. And I think a lot of that might stem from their own understanding of the things that they're going through as human beings in finance as well. 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So essentially just spending all that they make. And 47% couldn't come up with $400. $400 in any sort of emergency situation or any situation like that. Now tell me one emergency that costs less than $400. I mean, really, like, I think that that these statistics are debilitating. It is really an issue that we're facing as human beings, as people, in the fact that we really have to get people with the power and tools that they need. With that in mind, I had the opportunity to speak, my first time ever, to speak to the Nevada Senate Committee on Education. I was incredibly nervous. You know, not many things make me nervous from a speaking standpoint anymore. I think that even being on the podcast every couple weeks and coming to you or webinars or when I'm out speaking in a keynote or motivational capacity, I do it all the time. But I got to that Senate Committee and I was like shaking and sweating and just all, you know, nervous. But it was a really powerful experience, and I feel very thankful to have been given the opportunity to do that. And I want to share a little bit of a video with you. Before I do, I just want you to know that because I was so nervous, the second that I got the chance to talk, I sat down. I thought I was like an auctioneer. I'm like, hello. I'm just speaking so quickly. And I know you're thinking to yourself, is it possible for her to speak faster than she already is right now? But it's true. Scott, please roll the video.
In 2003, Boulder Dam Credit Union and I created a financial literacy program in an effort to nurture financial freedom and to help with this issue and teach basic financial literacy principles and, of course, build those long-term relationships with the community. In a three-hour Saturday session, we deliver life coaching and financial education for high school juniors and seniors, and we cover goal setting, budgeting, debit, credit, product knowledge. We also teach the important difference between credit unions, banks, and alternative finance. We create authentic dialogue with young people about concerning topics such as what if I choose not to go to college, or how much do babies really cost? What happens to my mom now that she's lost the house? We talk about how much money impacts their life. We learn about their needs, and we always communicate that the only goal that we have for them is to know that they have a choice, that they are in charge of their financial future. Every example we use is based on issues and situations that they're facing. We teach the basics of financial management, but really it's about the basics of life. One student came to us in tears, and this was a few years ago, talking about how much this information would help his mom. They had lost their father, he had passed away. And with him passing, not only did they lose their primary source of income, but they also lost all of the financial knowledge of the household. And so our financial literacy program was providing that information for him.
Such a powerful story there that I was sharing at the very end. And it was pretty incredible to have that student come and say, you know, that he had lost, with losing the parent, they had lost the source of finance. And think about how many families are out there. Think about in your family, the things that you may take care of that your significant other might take for granted. And when the financial knowledge is there in one spouse, and if it's not there in the other, like, what would you do in that sort of sense? And so we were really fortunate to be able to provide the tools that they needed in their family. The consumer financial environment, so what we see as human beings in finance, is so saturated with choice. When you want to pay for something, you have a million options, whether it's an app or it's a different bank or a credit union or an alternate or a predatory lender. All of those things are available to you. And it's hard as a consumer, it's hard as a person to sort through all of that when you're inundated. And I think somewhat that technology is making us a little weaker, just like some of the multiplication tables and things like that of years past that you learned in school that you may know by heart, but other students aren't learning, and we're doing it because we have the technology to help us do that. Well, in the process of that, makes us a little bit lazier. So people don't know or reconcile their checking accounts, don't balance their checking accounts like grandma used to in the register, because they don't have to. They just log into a bank account or log into their credit union online account and check out their balance. And they feel almost like they shouldn't need to. So it does make us lazier in that effort. And the less engaged you are in your money, the more opportunity there is for different institutions to take advantage. And that's why I was sharing to the Senate committee, and I believe so powerfully in what we're doing at Boulder Dam Credit Union, is that we want people to leave and knowing they have a choice. They are going to make a difference, and it's up to them to make a difference in their own lives. We can't do it for you. You can lead a horse to water kind of thing, but at the end of the day, someone has to take those tools and implement them in their lives. And we really do have an epidemic when it comes to debt. Student loan debt, you know, as of today, is at $1.49 trillion. $1.49 trillion. From my days of college, this problem has certainly compounded. And so what are we going to do to change the future? So a couple individuals, friends of mine, are doing just that. They're trying to make a difference with young people, make a difference in the world of financial literacy, and offering and delivering this information in a very cool way. So at first, before I introduce them to you formally, I want to check out their music video.
All right, here. So check this out.
I gotta thank my piggy bank. Thank my piggy bank.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Piggy Bank, for making my dreams come true.
If there's something you want to buy but don't have enough, you can always try to save up. And here's what you do. Don't hope and wish, but find a pig. Set a goal, but not too big. And every now and then feed him a coin.
Got $2, put one away, so you can still have fun today while saving up some money for something big. Find a coin on the floor, maybe you just did some chores. Add a little to that piggy every day.
I gotta thank my piggy bank. Thank my piggy bank.
I love watching their videos. It's so incredible to see them dancing and having fun and spreading messages like thanking my piggy bank. I know my kids love to put money in their piggy bank. So I'd like to introduce you now to Chad Helmanack and Christopher Morris, who are officially the members of the Disclosures, the band The Disclosures. Chad is a communication strategist at CUNA Mutual Group. He has his bachelor's in communication and public relations from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. He's also a credit union development educator, shout out to the DEs, and a DE Cooperative Spirit Award winner, a Roxy Rockstar, Credit Union Magazine Trailblazer for CU Times, Trailblazer 40 Under, amazing gentleman, and his cohort partner in crime is Christopher Morris. He's the Director of Communications at the National Credit Union Foundation. He has his Bachelor's in Arts in Teaching English and Secondary Language from the University of Illinois, Chicago. He's also a DE and won the DE Cooperative Spirit Award, also a rock star from CU Magazine, also a CU Times Trailblazer 40 Below, and a Y Cup Award winner. And both, of course, are my homies from DE. And so please join me in welcoming Christopher and Chad. Hello, gentlemen. Can
Hello.
I officially call you, just refer to you as the Disclosures?
That's fine. And both of our names start with a C, so if you get us mixed up, happened before.
And you're wearing similar color shirts, so...
That just happens, yeah.
Again, did you guys know each other in college?
No, we met in 2009 with Credit Union Development Educator Training, which mm-hmm. you're familiar with, mm-hmm. and that was the first time we met and shortly formed the band afterwards.
Yeah.
And is the band bringing you to superstardom? Do you have groupies and things just following you around?
I mean, groupies is a strong word in the credit union world.
I feel like I'm a groupie.
Yeah, we've got fans, I mean, from coast to coast around the world. It's been an awesome
experience. Yeah. When you're making the millions, or now that you are making the millions, just don't forget, you know, your homies back, you know, from back in the day, your DE homies. Yeah. So tell us about your, Chad, please tell us about the Disclosures and your journey then to where you are today.
Sure. So as I mentioned, Chris and I met in 2009. We both had a passion for music and playing guitar, and also a passion for credit unions. So in 2010, this contest came up to develop a song about moving your money from a large bank and, you know, the Wall Street and the fallout from the Great Recession was happening then, to come out with a song, a music video, talking about moving your money to a credit union. So we did that. We didn't win the contest. But we still had a lot of fun and realized that through our music and through something we were passionate about, credit unions and personal finance, we could have an impact in teaching people about credit unions, about financial education. So from that, we did a few albums. We did albums worth of songs. So
Excellent.
We did one on credit unions, the history and philosophy, and that's really nerdy stuff. But
that's a very 90s CD cover, by the way.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So at least you guys age yourselves. When I said CDs earlier, you just busted one out to put on camera. So that's good.
Yeah. And we always joke that we're still number one in the credit union rock chart. So
nice. Excellent.
But through our work too, we also knew that youth and financial education was a big issue as well. So we decided to make a second album with kids music and talking about the basics of savings and even more seemingly complicated issues like how a loan works. So from that, we've done presentations and a bunch of different education opportunities to try to bring our music to different audiences and help people learn more about these topics we care about.
Oh, that's excellent. So Chris, then how does that play and why is it important to have a mission, kind of a mission driven and purpose in what you do? Do you feel like that plays a role?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chen and I, again, we started this because we're passionate about helping people. We're passionate about credit unions, passionate about music, and we kind of combined all those. And I think personally and professionally, we're able to do that through the music, which is really cool. And I think we use that, like Chad said, to inspire and educate people about credit unions, about personal finance. And I think the more you have a mission or a purpose in what you do, the happier you're going to be, the more fulfilled. And also, you know, the more of a difference you're going to make. So it's been an awesome journey. And again, 7 years. It's been awesome.
7 years. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I know you said the date, but 7 years. Wow, that really kind of sinks in. So what does financial literacy mean to you?
Brandy, you hit on a couple of really good points earlier when you were talking about financial education and the importance of it, especially with young people. Some people don't realize the amount of stress finances has on individuals, and especially younger people. Mm-hmm. Upwards of 70% of millennials indicate that money is one of the leading causes of stress they have. Mm-hmm. And if you look from today versus about 40 years ago, you'll see that, you know, a question often posed is, do kids have it tougher today than, you know, generations before? And when it comes to finances, in some cases they do. The cost of college versus the entry-level income, for example, it just simply costs more percentage-wise for people to do some things today than it did 40 years ago. So the pressure's on to not come out of college, not turn 18 and get hit with these credit card offers and make mistakes, because the pitfalls and the dangers in some of those decisions, and if you make them the wrong ones, can be more devastating than ever before.
Absolutely. And so was it natural for you then, for you guys to mix the artistic side with the with this kind of passion for financial literacy? I mean, Chris, was that fun to do? Was that hard to do?
It was actually really fun and surprisingly easy. I mean, the way we worked from the beginning is always, even when we wrote that first song about moving your money to a bank, to credit union, is, you know, just like in your day job, you set the strategy and the goals and you go from there. We've always wrote every album with, okay, here's the main concepts we're trying to achieve and how do we get there? So, you know, for example, you showed Thank My Piggy Bank. You know, that was one where we had a couple ideas. Okay, we got to do a song about savings and, you know, some strategies around that, some concepts. And from there, we'll come up with the lyrics and then say, okay, what's a fun way to do that? Oh, Thank My Piggy Bank, that rhymes, that works. write the music. And then that was the kind of the results that you're looking at. So it's been surprisingly easy, again, just always trying to figure out what we were trying to achieve and do something fun with it.
How about the video, the videography of it? Was the dancing natural as the music was?
Yeah, we love to dance. We just do it poorly.
Yeah, exactly.
So we just work with what we have.
And the kids, you know, again, for the kids album, it's like, you know, they love that kind of stuff. So it's fun. Yeah.
Definitely. So, Chad, where have people applied this? So you've created these videos. You've made this music for people. You made it really easy to tie in and making learning about finances fun. How have people applied this and utilized it?
Well, when we first started doing this and throughout creating the music, we always knew that doing presentations, and with the kids stuff, we've gone into classrooms and done school assemblies and been able to introduce that music personally. But beyond that, credit unions especially have taken our music and done a lot of cool things with it. They've used it for staff trainings, for example, and sharing that with members over social media. They've used it for on-hold music. And even some of our other songs about credit unions and the industry and history and philosophy have been used for advocacy purposes and educating the general public on what credit unions are and why they're important. So
on hold music sounds awesome. I would love to be on hold somewhere and hear one of your jams. For real, though, because it's so much different and you're actually learning something along the way.
Yeah, and that's actually a funny story with the on hold music. You know, we create all this stuff to educate and inspire people about credit unions, the first album. And that was something where we didn't even think about it. A credit union came to us and said, do you mind if we use this as our on hold music instead of Muzak? And we kind of looked at each other like,
heck no.
Yeah, of course. That makes total sense.
Do you guys get a royalty from the on hold music?
I
haven't gotten a check yet. We're not too concerned.
We should figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to your lawyers. So are there, I mean, you already talked about your dancing, but are there other kind of craziness or horrific examples or lessons learned or disasters that you've survived?
Wow. That's, you know, we've had our share of learnings along the way. One thing is, we, you know, 18, 20 years ago, whenever Chris and I picked up guitars, we didn't, you know, we wanted to be rock stars and change the world with kind of grunge music or whatever we were into at the time. But what happened was when we started playing for kids and they started, you know, whispering to us, you know, I've got $20 in my piggy bank and here's what I use for a piggy bank and all these cool little stories. We realized that our music was making an impact in a way that we never thought, never dreamed of. Yeah. So, you know, applying our passion in this case, and just it went in a totally different direction, but one that was so worthwhile. And we realized at the end of the day, you know, to those kids we play for, we're rock stars, and that's what matters.
That makes totally me a very emoji hard-eyed. I tell you what, like they got a soft spot for kids and loving, and that's so great. Chris, what were you saying?
I was just going to add on to that. It's funny because, you know, we write this stuff, you know, like maybe a Sunday morning or something. And you're like, I hope this resonates. You know, I got two kids and they're kind of our focus group. But when we play to the kids and they're, we always end with Thank My Piggy Bank. And every time I think we've ever played that song, the kids are like, one more time. And we do this encore upthink my piggy bank.
So you do have groupies, just not in the way the Rolling Stones did.
No,
it's just much healthier.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know though. They're still alive, so there might be something to that. Awesome. So, Chris, could you share an action item or, you know, a takeaway that anybody could start implementing or doing differently today?
Well, I mean, I think the theme of the whole disclosures journey has been, you know, again, this is something we've always done outside our day job. So I would say, you know, we've always believed that whole, you know, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly no one ever said, hey, you guys should go out and start a credit union ban or start a financial education ban. And I think most of the stuff we did, we just said, you know, we believe in this. We know it's going to make an impact and we're just going to do it, whether it's a video, whether it's a song, whether whatever it is. And every time, you know, we believed in it and it worked and people saw it and the response has been awesome. Because I think if we would have went and, you know, asked the people that we needed to ask, hey, do you mind if we do a video on this particular advocacy issue or an important lobbying issue, they would have said, wait, you're a credit union ban? You want to do what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then when we do it, boom, it's across every, you know, trade association, every big credit union website is using this video. So sometimes you just have to ask for forgiveness.
Yes, that's amazing. And so if somebody wanted to download your music or be a part of your journey, how would they do that?
So, I mean, we're up on the internet, obviously,
the
Googles. There's our website, thedisclosuresmusic.com. We're on YouTube. You can get physical CDs, but of course, you know, nowadays people go on iTunes, Amazon, wherever you get digital music.
I want a signed CD. Is that possible? How much is that going to cost me?
Not much. We'll talk.
Okay.
We encourage people. We have a ton of stuff on YouTube. So for your kids, if you're a parent, a teacher, you
love
know, use
that.
Our kids' music and all that good stuff.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you both for being here. And thank you for your journey in financial literacy and keep kicking ass.
You too, Brandy.
Yeah, you
Thanks
too.
For having us on.
Bye.
I'm Paulina with Fitzsimmons Credit Union, and you're listening to Brandy Stankovic on the Strategic Hot Box. Brandy rocks.
Thank you so much to Fitzsimmons Credit Union and Paulina for sending the shout out. And thank you to Chris and Chad for sharing their love with us. I love the energy that they bring and the excitement that they have for money management and really sharing that passion with the next generation. So now it's your favorite time, my favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Here is your top five. Number one, and similar to the way I've done it in some different podcasts, I'm going to frame this from two areas. One, I'm going to give you a big picture top five, and the first one here you see is ask. And then I'm going to give you specific, tangible money tools. So we're going to talk big picture of what you should be doing philanthropically from this standpoint, and then I'm going to give you five tools and how to make a difference in your financial future. So number one, the first thing you should do is ask. If there's something you don't know about, ask. If there's an opportunity with your financial institution or someplace that you're struggling or you're challenged with, ask. I was working with the emergency aid group very recently, and it is helping those that are in a tough area or those that are in poverty to try to break that cycle of poverty and get out of poverty. And that's the role that we have in teaching financial literacy to this crew. And I was having a conversation with them just a couple weeks ago in our class. And one of the things that we were saying is that if there's a bill that you can't pay, ask. If there is something that you don't understand, ask. And it's become this faux pas or this place of vulnerability where people are afraid to have those conversations, and they shouldn't. This would help the entire, you know, U.S., the next generation, et cetera, if you just get out there and get those tools that you need. Number two is know the difference. There is a substantial difference between a bank, which is a for-profit organization, and a credit union, which is a not-for-profit organization. So my credit union homies that listen to this, like, woo-woo, we know the difference. And I want you to know the difference. Same is true when it comes to predatory lenders and or check cashers, et cetera, all these different kind of opportunities that you have. Know there's a difference and know you have a choice. I let it ride into it. You know you have that choice, the power of the choice. It really is all about that. And that's the most important thing that you can do from a financial literacy standpoint is have those tools, ask, know that there's a difference, be, you know, making a conscious decision in what you're doing, and then choose appropriately. Number four is to talk to someone. Don't keep this stuff inside. Talk to your kids about finance. You know, you should probably talk to them about sex too while you're at it. I mean, make it just a happy afternoon of finance and sex. But talk to your partner. Talk to your spouse. There might be something that your spouse is struggling with, or if they don't know how to do the finances, or if you don't know how to do and handle some of the bills, make sure that you're equals in that place. One person may like control it in a different way. I mean, that depends on your relationship, but both people should be aware of what's happening, because so often I'll see people come to me that need support because they've lost that person in their lives. And then talk to your financial institution as well, as I mentioned. Number five is set goals and plan. Take it as something that you have to take seriously. Set goals in regards to it. Set goals for savings. Save, you know, some money. And I'm going to give you specifics here soon. But do what you have to do to be proactive about your financial future. Because let's face it, you know, they say like money doesn't buy happiness. Money doesn't buy love, all that stuff. But money sure makes life a heck of a lot easier when it comes to doing the things that you want to do, or building the business that you want to build, or empowering the next generation of people. And so I'm not saying being money hungry in that sense, but just know about the money that you have and manage it accordingly. So here's five tools or things that you can do in order to be more successful when it comes to cash. Number one, save 15% of your money and your paycheck every paycheck to save up for a 3 to 6 month reserve. Now, when I started using this recommendation of creating a reserve, it started at 3 months, because let's face it, 10, 15 years ago, if you had 3 months in your savings account, you were probably okay. And then what happened? The economy crashes, there's a massive recession, there's a lot of different things that occur, and we have to increase that pool to 6 months. And the main reason being, it takes people longer. If you were to lose a job, it takes you longer to find one. And so 3 months isn't enough anymore. And this is coming from opinion, take it as just that. But if everyone in the United States had 6 months reserve in their bank account when the economy crashed the way that it did, it wouldn't have crashed. It just wouldn't have. And so I'm urging all of you, saving is so important. And I know that I've been offering this information for a very long time, and the fact that I've been teaching the financial literacy class forever, and it's taken me a while to get to this point, because of course, as you progress in your career, as you make more and more money, that reserve needs to be even greater. Number two, track your expenses. The most important part about creating a budget is tracking your expenses. So often people will think, well, I've got to know how much money I make, and I got to plug in the money. It doesn't matter. You need to know how much money you spend, because then you'll know the difference between how much money you need to make, how much money you have left over for discretionary kind of things. Track your expenses. And so often people don't. My husband, when we first got together, he wasn't noticing that Washington Mutual, now of course, you know, WaMu is gone, or was purchased by Chase, but that Washington Mutual was charging him every time that he overdrew his account. So what he was doing, obviously, right? But what he was doing in his bill pay is he's having all of his bills paid on the 15th. And then also his paycheck was put in on the 15th. But what Washington Mutual was doing is putting his paycheck in after he paid all his bills. So then he'd have these overdrawn charges, and then the money would be put into his account same day. But after all those things went out, and then he'd have enough money to cover it, whatever. But there was all these fees, and he wasn't tracking it. And so he didn't even realize that there were the fees that there were. And that is where the weakness comes in. He was managing his money just fine. He just wasn't tracking what was actually occurring in his account. And so it was a learning opportunity for him 10 years ago, or for us together 15 years ago, but in here we've grown, you know, grown from that. So we'll all make mistakes. Number three, limit debt to 35% of your income. Now, this might be, you know, a little safe for some financial institutions that could be listening, but I think that we should, as human beings, limit your debt payments to 35% of what you're bringing in your income. Because that way, you know that you'll be able to save a little, and you'll be able to, you know, spend and have all those expenses as well. Number four, use the 30-day rule. What I mean by that is try to limit spontaneous purchasing. So we laugh at our house because everybody has that thing that they spontaneously purchase. Like maybe it's gum or, you know, whatever. But sometimes people will get spontaneous and go, I want a bigger TV. And next thing you know, they're out buying a TV. And I always say, if you can give yourself 30 days, and then come back and find out if it's something that you actually still want to purchase, then it was meant to be, and I'm sure you'll work towards doing that. The same is true, and I give an example of a TV in a trivial or jovial way, but you know, all the way down that any sort of spontaneous things or things that you may not need, coffee or any of those things that kind of work against you, booze or cigarettes or things like that, if you can give yourself time to make those purchases and they're done in a more of a spontaneous way, the better that you can do that. And 30 days is a good rule to have. And number five, evaluate your bills. Don't be lazy. Be engaged. Ask questions of your financial institution. Ask questions of everybody that you have your bill. Call Cox and ask them to reevaluate your bill before canceling anything like that. Most financial institutions would rather change your bill or help you out of your financial situation than lose you as a client. Most financial institutions or any institution would rather help you through your financial situation than lose you as a client. So keep that in mind and reach out and ask. So there are your top kick-ass. Thank you again to the Disclosures and Chad and Chris. We'd love to hear from you on the Strategic Hot Box on any feedback that you can give to us. So hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at BrandyLove and at Strategic Hot Box, or email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. Financial literacy is so important. Try to make some change in your life and make a difference in what you're doing today, or pass that on to the next generation, even if it's through song like Christopher and Chad. Thank you. Get out there and kick some ass.